Our text this afternoon you'll find in Genesis in chapter 3, and it is in the 9th verse. And these are the words of our text. Where art thou? Where art thou? God is in the habit of asking questions. He asks questions often in the Word of God. And the reason that we read Job and the 38th chapter this afternoon was to make that point right at the very outset. If you read the 38th chapter of Job, you'll realize that within those first 18 verses, if you read it in the English translation, which we were using, there were about 14 question marks. Now, originally, when the Old Testament was written, it was not written with punctuation. However, if you go through that chapter, you'll notice that our translators very wisely put in a number of pieces of punctuation, not the least of which in the 38th chapter are those question marks. And as I say, within the first 18 verses, there are about 14. And beyond that, if you were to read through to the end of that chapter, there would be about 25 more. So within one chapter in the English translation, there's about 40 question marks. Then you could go on into the 39th chapter, and again, God, continuing to speak, continues to challenge Job and continues to ask him question after question after question. Now, there's a very good reason for that, which we're not going to get into so much because I'm not preaching on the book of Job. But if you were to read the book of Job sometime at your leisure, you would discover that Job had had a number of questions that he had wanted to ask God. And that ultimately, when we get to that 38th chapter, God turns it about and he begins to question Job in the 38th chapter. So, the point that I want to establish with you from that is that God does ask us questions. And he tends to ask a lot of questions. And the questions that the Lord asks us are very probing questions. Now, throughout this week, night after night, as the Lord enables me to do so, I want to go through various parts of the Word of God. And out of that, I want to preach on various questions from God's Word. Now, not all of the questions that I will and the will of God be preaching on throughout this gospel mission will be questions that God Himself has posed. But they are questions which He has seen fit to have recorded in the Word of God. And I want us to take a look at some of those questions. And in the process of doing that, I want to, as the Lord enables me, to set forth to you the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. Because after all, this is a gospel mission. We're here with the intention of hearing the gospel preached. And it is my responsibility as the preacher to set forth to you the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That is the responsibility of the man of God who stands behind the sacred desk. And any man who stands behind this desk and spends his time setting forth to you something or someone else is wasting his time and wasting your time in many respects. For we're called to declare all the counsel of God, and that brings us to the person and to the work of Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at this text of Scripture this afternoon, I want to point something out to you right at the very outset, and that is that if you've read the first chapter of Genesis and then the second chapter of Genesis, you'll realize that this question is the first recorded question that we have in the Scriptures, where God asks humanity, asks Adam, asks Eve, a question. Now, there may have been others. God did not see fit to record them. However, when we get to this question, this is the first recorded posed question. And the question is, where art thou? The thing that I want you to bear in mind this afternoon as we look into this text is that this verse of Scripture, this text is just as pertinent. It is just as useful. It is just as probing as it was in the hour when God first asked it to to Adam and Eve there in the garden. I might just as well, as the Holy Spirit enables me, address this question to you. God may take this question to this afternoon and drive it home to your heart, and I trust that He will. Now, primarily, the person to whom I'm speaking this afternoon is that person who's come in, who's out of Christ. If you know not Christ as Savior, this is a gospel mission, and we are here with the intention and purpose of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is to you who are out of Christ that I am primarily speaking. However, I'm reasonably certain that a large number of you who are here are saved, maybe perhaps saved for years. And by the grace of God, I hope not to leave you out in the preaching of the Word of God this afternoon. As we look at this text, "Where art thou?" I want you to consider with me that this is a personal question. If we were to translate this, or if we were to update the language here, we would say, if we were looking for someone, "Where are you? Where are you?" We would ask it insistently until we could get some sort of response. God here is asking that question to Adam and Eve, and He's asking it as a personal question. Why do I say that? Well, I say that for one reason, because God is a personal God. If you read through this chapter, read through the rest of the book of Genesis, you'll find that God is set forth there as a personal God. He has a personal name. His personal name is Jehovah. And He appears to humanity in person as well. This particular chapter sets forth for us the first of what I referred to this morning during the Sunday school hour as a Christophany. A Christophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that in this particular passage of Scripture, what we find is that the Lord Jesus Christ appears in a pre-incarnate form for the very first time in the Word of God. Now, God has historically in the Old Testament appeared to humanity and has done so in person. On this occasion, I believe we have the person of Jesus Christ appearing to humanity, manifesting Himself to them. Also, not only do we find that God is personal and that He has a personal name and that He appears to humanity in person, but also He deigns to engage us in personal conversation. If we look into this chapter, let's look and see what exactly is going on. In verse 8, we see, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" God deigns to engage us in personal conversation. Why? We speak of the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We speak of engagements where God, or occasions in the Scripture, where God has manifest Himself unto humanity. And what do we find on occasion after occasion? That God, who is this personal God, with this personal name, appears unto humanity in person and then engages humanity in conversation. Whether we speak of Abraham and his conversations with God, or Moses and his conversations with God, or Jacob and his conversations with God, or David or Samuel, we can go right away throughout the Old Testament, right into the New Testament, and what do we find? That God engages us in conversation. The woman at the well, John in chapter 4, engaged in conversation by no one less than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So God manifests Himself unto us, and He engages us in personal conversation because He is a personal God. And then there is something else, and that is that God asks personal questions. I've gotten in the habit over the years of asking a lot of questions, probably because there's a lot of things I need to know. So I ask. Sometimes the questions that I ask are of a generic nature, and I just want some information. Sometimes I know people a little better, and I may ask them some personal question. They may be having ill health. And I'll say, well, what did you find out when you went to the doctors the other day or when you had those tests run? Or I've got a friend right now that I'm working with and his wife is ill with cancer. She's just recently been re-diagnosed and she's undergoing treatment. And I know him well enough that I feel comfortable asking him a little more personal questions about her and her health and how she's feeling. And so I ask that as a personal question. And if we know someone well enough and someone knows us well enough, well, we're ready to have them ask personal questions. No one knows you better than God. No one knows me better than God. And so when God asks questions, He asks personal questions. Because He is a personal God. Because He is prepared to become personally involved with us. Because He is personally interested and concerned in where you are. Therefore, this text is worthy of our consideration this afternoon. And God, as it were, through His Word, is asking you this personal question. Where art thou? Where art thou? Where art thou not just that you're in church? Where art thou not just that you're in Londonderry, Northern Ireland? Where art thou not just that you're sitting in the midst of family and friends? Where art thou not just that you're at a certain station in life? Where art thou not just that you've achieved a certain status and acquired a few skills? But where art thou in a spiritual sense? Where art thou in relation to God? Where art thou in relation to spiritual truth? Where art thou in relation to your walk with the Lord? Where art thou? It's a personal question. Now, I may not know you well enough to have the right to ask you personal questions. But as I said just a few moments ago, no one else in heaven or earth knows you better than God. And no one else has more right or better right to ask you this question. Where art thou? It is a personal question. Not only is it a personal question, but it is also a pertinent question. It spoke to Adam's current condition. You see, up until this time, Adam and Eve had never hidden from God. They heard the voice of God walking in the garden, the cool of the day, and the indication from that seems to be that up until then, this had not been an uncommon occurrence. They had had conversation with God. They had interaction with Him. They had been able to fellowship with Him. And now suddenly something had changed. Things weren't just the way they had been before. And now this question comes to them, and it's very, very pertinent. For God is asking them, where are you? And so it became very pertinent. And it also would have caused Adam and Eve to have contemplated how it was that they got there. This is not how life used to be. Life used to be different. When I heard the voice of God in days gone by, I was happy to hear it. I was glad to fellowship with it. I look forward to that time in the cool of the day when the voice of God would walk in the garden. We had sweet fellowship together and it was an enjoyable thing. And now all of a sudden, I hear the voice of God and I run and I hide. Why? How did I get in my life to the point where when I hear the voice of God, I run and hide? I'm not ready to hear what He has to say. I'm not ready to have conversation with Him the way I used to. How did I get to this current state of affairs in my life? Where art thou? And this question would have been very pertinent because it would have caused Adam and caused Eve to contemplate how he got there. Something else I believe that this question would have done, I believe it would as well have made him face his sin and the separation that now existed between him and God. Something that had, the thing that had changed was this. God had said to Adam and Eve they weren't supposed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He gave them that warning. He said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They took that on board. They understood it. It wasn't as if they didn't know what he was talking about. Of all the trees in the garden, they could freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they could not eat. God had declared that in the day that they ate thereof, they would surely die. Now they didn't ultimately really believe him. Because the serpent, if you were to read a little earlier on in this chapter, you read the account, the serpent, who was very subtle, came in, convinced Eve that she should eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She saw that the tree was good for fruit, that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. She wanted to be like God, and that was the selling point. Your eyes will be opened, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And so she took of the fruit, and then she turned around and gave it to her husband, who with eyes wide open, not being deceived, knowing exactly what he was doing, decided that he would go against whatever God had said, and that he would eat. Then, suddenly their eyes were open. They knew that they were naked. They ran out to get fig leaves to sew together to make themselves some aprons. And then, when God came, as was his habit, to walk with them in the garden in the cool of the day, they heard his voice, and where did they run? Off into the bushes to hide. And God comes with this pertinent question. Where art thou? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? It was a pertinent question because it would have pointed out that it was their fault, their sin, their evil doing, their disobedience that had put the separation between them and God. Where art thou? You've come to Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church this afternoon to hear a gospel preacher. You've come to hear the Word of God preached. And yet, the accent doesn't make that much difference. The words themselves in and of themselves don't make really that much difference. You've come in this afternoon and God, from His Word, is asking you this question about where you are spiritually. And perhaps you're sitting here thinking, you know, if I heard the voice of God like that, I'd be doing just exactly what Adam and Eve were doing. I'd be running the other direction and trying to hide. Because my sin has put a very, very large separation between me and God. And so this question, whereas it was pertinent for Adam and Eve on that day, is pertinent for you on this day. And the Lord God speaks in this afternoon service and He says, where art thou? It's a question for all times. It's a question for every person. I promised at the very outset that I was primarily preaching to the unsaved. And that is true. If you're out of Christ today, this question is pertinent to you. Where art thou? Are you that individual today who has come in through these doors? And if you were to go out this afternoon and be killed before you got past the police station in an automobile accident, your next stop would be a Christless eternity. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe where you are today as an unsaved person is that you've been putting off any thought, any serious contemplation about embracing Christ as He's freely offered to you in the gospel. Maybe you work with somebody who goes to this church, or maybe you have a lot to do with people who are saved people. Maybe you've heard the gospel. Maybe you've been invited to gospel missions like this before. Maybe you've attended. Maybe somebody else in your family has sort of dragged you along kicking and screaming this afternoon. And you really, really don't want to be here, but you are. And now there comes this question. Where art thou? Take stock of where you are this afternoon. Take stock spiritually of where you are today. And if you are out of Christ, if you know not Christ as Savior, realize that the reason that you are at this point is that your sin stands between you and God. It also stands between you and heaven, it all also stands between you and peace. It also stands between you and salvation. Where art thou? But having said that, I also made another promise. And I don't like to make a lot of promises, because if I make a promise, I have every intention of keeping it unless providentially hindered in some way. I also said that I would see in the preaching if I could not also bring something around for those of you who are Christians. Now, maybe the vast majority of you are saved. Maybe you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And yet, I would also ask you this question. Where art thou? Are you spiritually where you were 10 years ago when I was here? Are you spiritually farther away from the Lord than you were those 10 years ago? Are you enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ, His person and His work, as you have in days gone by? Are you progressing in the Christian faith? Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Where art thou, Christian? Where art thou? Let's take stock of ourselves today. And let's not push this question off as being something suitable for everybody else but me. It's a personal question, so please take it personally. It's a pertinent question, so please consider it very, very carefully. Where art thou? If you're unsaved today, consider where you are. If you're saved today, consider where you are. For God asked this question, He means for us to consider it carefully. The next thing that I want you to see in this text is that this is also a preparatory question. Now, I've never been to Parliament. Perhaps you never have either. But I used to observe it when we lived in Australia for 7.5 years. They have it on the television. And since we only got the two channels anyway, every once in a while you could turn on the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting System, and then you could watch Parliament. And they would be talking to each other. And they have this time, and I suppose that they got it from British Parliament. It's called Question Time. And question time was the most interesting part, because what would happen was that the person who was the Prime Minister would sit there, and then other people would come and they would start asking him questions. And do you know what became very, very apparent? What became very, very apparent when they asked these questions is that they were never asking a question to which they already didn't know the answer. If they asked a question, they weren't looking for information. They were trying to draw out some point. They were trying to get the Prime Minister to either admit something or respond to something that he was maybe uncomfortable about, or they were trying to elicit some sort of response which would bring some issue out into the open. And so they would never ask a question to which they didn't already know the answer. And I thought that's very clever. Very, very clever thing to do. Do you know who else does that? God. God never asks a question to which He doesn't already know the answer. Where art thou? Did He know where Adam and Eve were? Well, of course He did. He's all-seeing, all-knowing. He knew where Adam and Eve were. But this question which He asked to them because He wanted to bring them out of the woodwork, as it were. He wanted them to face up to where they were and what they were doing and why they were there. He wasn't asking the question seeking information. And He's not asking it today seeking information. If by the power of the Holy Spirit, God takes this question, drives it home to your heart this afternoon, it's not because God doesn't know where you are spiritually or needs information from you. Rather, God asks this question because He's wanting you to consider where you are, and it's because He's planning on taking you somewhere else other than where you are right this minute. Where art thou? God asks questions to bring us to where He wants us to be. And something else I want you to see, and this is the best to me part of this whole passage of Scripture. God, in dealing with humanity, more often than not, asks questions like this because the place that He wants to bring us is to the person of Jesus Christ. If you look with me over in verse 15 of this chapter, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we find something very, very interesting. God is speaking, and He's speaking to the serpent, and He says, verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, theologians have been considering this particular text of Scripture for years and years and years, and they've come to call it by this name, the Proto-Evangelium, which means the first giving of the Gospel. And what you find here is this, is that God, in speaking to Adam and Eve in the context of the garden, and even as He discussed these things with the serpent, first brings humanity to Jesus Christ with this statement of the Gospel. It's about the seed of the woman, who is no one less than Jesus Christ, who was going to crush the head of the serpent, and so he did, who was going to be the Redeemer. And so we find that right here at the very dawn of God's interaction with humanity, when He asks this question, "Where art thou?" He does so with the intention of bringing to them the Gospel of Jesus Christ and of bringing them to Christ in the process. So God does the same thing today. He doesn't ask you, "Where art thou?" merely so He can make you feel miserable. He doesn't ask you, "Where art thou?" merely for the purpose of pointing out your sin and your separation from God and then leaving you there. He doesn't ask you this question, "Where art thou?" with the intention and purpose that you should just go away and think, "Well, I had a good scare thrown into me this afternoon." Now, God asks you this question, "Where art thou?" because there is this matter of the person and work of Jesus Christ, and it's His intention to set forth Christ before you this afternoon. "Where art thou?" God brings us to the person of Jesus Christ. Here, in fact, if you consider this a Christophany, is the pre-incarnate Christ giving witness to His own coming incarnation. And so, in essence, Christ is preaching the Gospel about Himself, that He would come. And so, from Adam and Eve, right away throughout the Old Testament, right away into the New Testament, and into this present day, God continues to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the line of the Gospel that runs from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. And it is the Gospel that we preach and have preached and will continue to preach until the last preacher stands up to open the sacred book behind the sacred desk. And the question then arises this afternoon, "Where art thou?" Because my purpose in being here this week is to preach Christ. My purpose in coming to Northern Ireland to spend this time, although I enjoy the fellowship of my brother here and his family and all of you folks that are here in Northern Ireland, and although I'm happy to come and visit, be in Ireland once, Northern Ireland once again, none of those things are the primary reason for which I've come. The primary reason for which I've come is to set forth to you that Jesus Christ will take you from where you are to where you ought to be. Whether you're a believer and somehow have managed to get yourself very, very far away from the Lord, or whether you're an unsaved person and need more than anything else in the whole world to be saved, you need to rightly answer this question this afternoon. Where art thou? And then, having answered it, you need to respond accordingly. For God would bring you to Jesus Christ. God would declare to you that you need to come to Christ if you're out of Him. And that if you're a child of God and things have come between you and the Lord, then now's the time to go from where you are to where you ought to be. And may God grant you the grace so to do for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the advancement of His kingdom. that He might get all the glory. Now before I close in prayer, and I am going to close in prayer in just a minute, let me just say one thing to you. You don't know me, and I don't know most of you. But I'm going to be here for an entire week, till the next Lord's Day, and we don't leave till the Monday following. And I'll be in and around the city of Londonderry, and I'm going to be here in the will of God every night. And after I'm gone, there's going to be a lot of other people here, still here. Reverend Brown will be here. The elders will be here. There's plenty of people that are sitting all around you. And I dare say there's a host of them, myself included, who would be prepared to open the Word of God with you and to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can come to know Him whom to know aright is life eternal. Therefore, this is the thing I want to leave with you this afternoon as we close this part of our gospel campaign. Seek someone out. Seek somebody out. Mr. Brown, one of the elders, someone that you know as a Christian, who can open the Word of God with you and sit down and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved and know that you are. So that when the question arises again, where art thou? You can say, well, I'm saved. And when I first heard that question, I wasn't. I'm in Christ. When I first heard that question, I wasn't. I'm not where I'm yet going to be, but I'm not where I was. And so therefore, that invitation stands throughout this week, and I'll repeat it again. Seek someone out, that they might open the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, so you may come to know Him whom to know aright is life eternal. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So do. And I trust that the Lord will give you grace to do it, even before the day's out.